That's a long time ago, long before many of you were born. And so over these many years, she has stood with me, and she has put up with my folly and my shortcomings and failures. And I don't know how I would have survived without her prayers. And so this woman of God has stood with me through thick and through thin. And so she's coming to give her testimony at this time, and I'm so grateful to God for her life.
The Lord God Almighty reigns. I thank God for Jesus. I can say because he lives, I can face today. Because I know that he holds my future. My life is worth living because he lives. I am privileged and blessed. I'm honored to be here this morning. I thank God for Reverend Jim and his lovely wife, Sister Ruth. I thank God for my lovely friends, Brother Brian and Sister Jan. They're like my family. And of course, their Sister Yvonne and Sister Scott on the other side. And all of you beautiful people. I just give all the praise and give all the honor and the glory for Jesus. I am so glad I'm a part of the family of God. The family of God is my family. There was on one occasion, Jesus' disciples were with him. And his family came along. And they were asking him, get excited about your family. And he said, you're my family. Anyone who does the will of God is my family. And all of you that are here today, you're my family. And I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I just want to sing a song. And I hope it to be a blessing to your heart. It's a song of hope. And it goes like this. There's coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tear to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore. And that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face. The one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by my hand and lead me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, but forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by my hand and lead me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be. When our Jesus we shall see, when he takes us by our hands and lead us through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Don't you look forward to that day when you shall see Jesus in all his glory, face to face in all his glory. God bless you.
Praise you. Thank you so much. I was heartened to hear about evangelism in the announcements, Pastor Jim, because That is really the thought that has rested in my heart. Now, you would know that the record for the longest sermon was set on the 11th of this month in Florida. Now, that sermon lasted 53 hours and 18 minutes. And that has gone into the Guinness Book of Records. Now, don't be troubled today, Sister Jan. If you left your steak on the slow cooking system, you'll be all right. I don't intend to equal or to surpass that sermon of 53 hours and 18 minutes, Pastor Jim, I promise you. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. If I would bring a topic to this theme today, it would be, don't give up. Now, Jesus Christ said in St. John chapter 15 and verse 16, He had not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that he should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever he shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. We have been chosen by God Almighty. Not only have we been chosen, but we have been brushed up, and we have been ordained, and we have been placed in ministry. And sometimes we don't really elevate our office as highly as we ought to elevate it. But we have been chosen by God, and we have been put in a strategic and a special place. And as we talk about don't give up, because all of us are tempted at times to give up. I was at a conference just last week, and one of the lecturers there, who had been ministering for 34 years, he said, I went through a phase, he said, when I felt like giving up. He had been pastoring for 34 years, but he came to his Red Sea and he felt like giving up. And if we were to be honest with ourselves, we have reached our Jordan on occasions when we have felt like giving up. But I want to bring a word to somebody today to encourage you, don't give up. I was visiting one of the ships moored in the Thames some years ago. And on that ship, there was a plaque in one corner, and I was drawn to it. And it referred to a gentleman called Jack Cornwall, who in the last war distinguished himself and received the VC posthumously. Now, the citation said that though badly injured in battle, he remained at his post awaiting orders. And he was so badly injured that he obviously died, or was taken from that gun nest and died. The point is, the man did not give up. He remained at his post, although he was badly injured. And that is to be found on HMS Belfast. If you have visited that ship, I would encourage you to look at that plaque. It is very easy to give up, Pastor Jim, when the going gets rough. And all of us have come to a point where we have felt rather fed up. And we have felt like giving up. And in respect of evangelism, and I'm glad that evangelism has been mentioned, and has become the focus for this church. Because Jesus Christ has equipped us and has sent us forth into the harvest field. We might not feel efficient enough to evangelize. And indeed, some of us seem to think that it should be the clergy who should be the evangelist. But indeed, all of us, Pastor Jim, has been called to go out and to tell the good news of salvation. And so, as I thought about the word for today, I was fortified in my belief that I should encourage Wellspring, a church that has risen from the ashes. It's a church that I continually pray for because I know the challenges that you have encountered. And I've come today to tell somebody to quit yourself like men and be strong. The scripture that we read a while ago from St. John chapter 15, Jesus Christ is saying there, listen, you did not make the first move to come to me. I am the one who made the first move and moved towards humankind. You did not choose me. We were not clever enough to have made this choice because we are inclined to make some bad decisions. And if we were to examine our lives and if we were to be honest with ourselves, many of us have gone into business ventures and we haven't counted the cost and we have lost a lot of money. And some people have gone to the point of bankruptcy because of their bad business decisions. People make bad decisions because that is humankind. We are making bad choices all the time. And sometimes those who are fathers will know that a young man will turn up at their doorstep and he will use all the Shakespearean words to woo that young lady. And he talks about how much he loves that young lady and he's going to really make her into a real princess. And after 6 months, that marriage unravels. That is humankind for you. We are making bad decisions all the time. But Jesus Christ said, I chose you because you were not brilliant enough to choose me. So I have made the initiative and I have chosen you. Tell your neighbor, I am chosen by God. There is a dilemma that is faced by modern man. Firstly, material progress and economic advancement has left man vulnerable and his community ties weakened. Never has workers been so anxious about their jobs. And many of us, when we went into work first, our jobs were indeed for life. But not now. Who would now say that his job is secure and that he has a job for life? Only a rash person would say that. That same material progress has brought about a weakening of community ties. There are many people who are desperately lonely. And as the Christmas season approaches, we will know that there will be many who will be lonely in this society. Modern man has been able to send a spacecraft to the moon and other galaxies, yet men and women continue to sleep rough in the major cities of this world. Never in the history of medicine has so many prescriptions been handed out for depression and for man's inability to cope with life. The therapist and the psychoanalysts are in great demand and more than man seeks an answer. One French artist came to a point in life when he erected an easel and placed a plain canvas thereon. He wrote thereon three sentences. Where did I come from? Who am I? Where am I going? He did not receive an answer and tried to commit suicide. Yes, friends, we're inclined to give up when the going gets rough. Secondly, more than man has lost faith in the political systems. People are giving up on the old political systems. There are some who think that whether we have a Marxist or capitalist system, that both run by elites. And I suggest that if OPEC decides to raise the price of oil, there is not much we can do about it. Again, we have been faced with a banking crisis. And people say, I cannot change the system, I give up. And as we speak, if we think that one bank is superior to the other, you make a sad mistake. And if you're hit with overcharges in one bank and you try to shift your account, you will find that when you go to the other bank, they are imposing the same charges on you. They're all the same. And so many people who have come to faith and have joined up with fellow believers have sadly been hurt in church. And I'm sure that I'm addressing somebody today who probably have been hurt in church. And some have the bruises to show. And some have said, I've had enough of church. Because they're all the same. They're all hypocrites in the church. Because they have been sadly let down. But they are genuine people in church who are praying for the welfare of humankind. Don't give up. The best of us, including preachers, can be challenged in our faith. And when we are overwhelmed by circumstances and the vicissitudes of life, we sometimes run away. When we cannot see the rainbow or the sun, when healing for the body seems so far away, when we are inclined to ask, "Carest not thou that we perish?" When we cry like David, "Cast me not away in thine anger." I say to you today, don't give up. And as we talk about preachers, sometimes people look at the preachers and they say, yeah, the preacher should be at a superior place in God. He should not feel discouraged at all. Every day should be a day in the mountaintop for him. But I tell you today that even preachers and miracle workers can be challenged. And sometimes they feel like giving up. And I refer you to 1 Kings chapter 18 at verse 38. And there's a man there called Elijah. You have read about him on many occasions, no doubt. And this man was so powerful. He was so deep in God. And he was a man who lived in the fire. The Bible says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And at verse 46, we are told, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Elijah, despite the signs wrought at his hands, entered into a period of deep depression and loneliness. And an angel had to be dispatched from heaven to minister to Elijah. I say to somebody today who have given up on evangelism, arise to the mission and go forth. And Jesus Christ has given us a fourfold commission. Firstly, of teaching and of casting out demons and of healing and of preaching. And in Luke chapter 5 and verse 5, the Bible talks about the disciples who decided to go fishing. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word will I let down the net. And so here we have a classic example of men who were established fishermen. That was what they did for a living. These were commercial fishermen. They were employees to be paid. And yet they toiled all night and caught nothing. I wonder if there's somebody in this service today who is saying, I have toiled all night. I have given much. I have exerted myself. And what have I got to show for it? Am I speaking to somebody today? And Jesus turned up on the scene and said, I want you to now push your boat out a little further on. And we are saying, but I have been at it all night. I've overexerted myself. What more can I do? And this church might be saying, yes, I have been involved in evangelism over the years. And what have I seen for all my efforts? But I'm urging you again under God. Nevertheless, push out the boat again in evangelism. And I say that to this church, Wellspring. And I've got many friends in this church. And I pray for this church constantly. Don't give up in well-doing. For Jesus Christ has somewhat with this church. And he wants to manifest and display his divine power in this place. It was about 2 years ago that God gave me a vision, and I remember the time you were passing through some difficulties here. And God showed me like a water course all around this welling area. And I could see people actually marching up and down the streets with banners. God works in a mysterious way. His wonders perform. I could not have told anybody then that I would be preaching in this church today. But the point is this. God Almighty has got a mighty well that he wants you to tap into. And somebody needs to be encouraged today. Don't give up. Hallelujah. And so evangelism is laid on my heart for this church and for our fellowship. It doesn't always seem attractive. And some folks seem to think that it's rather old-fashioned to go out to tell men and women about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're saying, now that we have got the internet, now that we have got the texting service, surely there's a more efficient way to do evangelism. But I'm telling you that there is no better way than to meet with our friends, our neighbors, and to tell them face to face that Jesus Christ is the answer. And to tell them about the place where we worship. Souls are dying in this area. God said to Joshua in Joshua 1 and verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And sometimes we feel as if we are in a lonely place, as if we have been forsaken. But be strong and of a good courage in verse 6 of the chapter. The apostle Paul spoke out when he met with the leading thinkers of the first century city of Athens. Acts 17, 16 to 34. The city was full of idols and altars, including an altar to the unknown God. And as we look around the city today, there are many places where altars have been erected, and their altars and shrines. And I have looked at some of these places, and we see these idols that has been set up in this great city of London. And many who proclaimed the gospel many years ago, if they were to come back from the grave and were to see idols set up around the place, they would just die quickly and go back. But yes, idols have been set up in this great city of London. So our mission for evangelism takes on a more urgent tone. There's only one true God. He's the creator of heaven and earth, who revealed himself through Jesus Christ. And there is no need to be embarrassed about the message that we have, for there is no greater message. And the New Age thinkers would like us to believe that there's a substitute for the blood of Jesus, but there is no substitute, Sister Jan. For there is no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. It is only through the name of Jesus. Can somebody say Jesus? Jesus declared in Matthew 5 and verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid." In a world torn by war, famine, economic instability, family conflict, disease, and disasters, people need hope. We have a hope, a bright hope, assured by Jesus Christ. People will be able to overcome incredible hardships when they have hope, Pastor Jim. A brilliant psychiatrist and observer of human nature called Viktor Frankl was a Jewish survivor of German concentration camps. As a prisoner living for many months on the knife edge between death and life, he witnessed time and time again the essential human need for meaning. He noted that survival in the camps wasn't dependent on physical strength alone, but rather on the possession of a deeply felt reason to live. He observed that prisoners usually died if they lost hope and had no purpose for carrying on. Francis Schaeffer wrote, "People are hungry for something which will give them hope in life. They're also afraid. Things rarely do seem hopeless." Yes, there is hope. And as we pray, I commend you to God and to the power of his grace. Jesus said in Matthew 28, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And men are seeking power these days. And if there's one thing that men and women want, it is power. As soon as we get into that job, every man wants to get into that position, that managerial position, because he wants power, because he wants to dictate to somebody how things should be done. The people who run for politics don't believe that they're just some fading violets. These men are anxious for power. They want power because they want to control somebody. But guess what? Jesus Christ said, "Listen to me, I am giving you power. And the power that I'm giving you is to subdue the forces of darkness. And Satan will tremble and he must run when he sees the child of God." So I say to you today, don't be afraid. And so he says, listen. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And sometimes we feel somewhat intimidated, Pastor Jim. And we don't really feel that we are up to it. And can we go and address the potentates in the land? But I want you to know that God Almighty has deposited power in you and I. And we have more power than we realize. For when we are on our knees, Satan trembles. And so we go and we teach all nations. And we baptize them in the name of the Father. And of the Son. And of the Holy Ghost. And I wish we would come back to that place where Jesus Christ alone is exalted and praised. And that man would be subdued. For too often man wants to vaunt himself as if he died for anybody. No, it was Christ who died on the cross for the sins of this world. And I was rather tickled a few days ago as I read about one of the main major actors in America. And he sat, at least from a Baptist tradition. And he said he moved to a new city. And he was invited to a church. And the pastor there said to him, I want you to come to my church and we can give you a VIP package. I praise God today that every person in Wellspring has been given a VIP package. But the only VIP that we need in this place, it is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. He alone paid the price at Calvary. And he alone is worthy to be praised from the uprising of the sun to the going down thereof. And lo, here is the promise. I am with you. Hallelujah. I will be with you when the sun is shining. I will be with you when it is foggy and misty. I will be with you when the storms of life are raging. And I will carry you through. Hallelujah. What an assurance that we have today. Don't give up. Can we stand in the presence of God Almighty at this time? Hallelujah. Don't give up. Is there somebody in this house today and you have been challenged in your faith and you've reached the point where you've asked the question, is it worth it? And you have felt like giving up. We want to embrace you in prayer today. Don't give up. Those who are listening out there, if you have reached a point where you have become totally fed up, you have been battered and bruised, I say to you under God today, he will take you through. Don't give up. As every head is bowed, if there is somebody this day who needs to be embraced in prayer, why not come to the forefront as we pray with you. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Have you been to the doctors? And that news has been negative. I'm saying to you today, don't give up. Glory to God. We want to pray with you. Hallelujah. For power has been given to us. And we have the power in our hands. Glory to God. The power to deliver men from sin and to point them on the way to glory. Don't give up. And the psalmist David said, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff to comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. No anointest my head at all, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. His goodness rests upon you today. He will take you through. Is there one who would say, embrace me in prayer? I need prayers today. We want to pray with you before I take my seat. Pastor Jim, We pray for you. We pray for this church. That in all your efforts, in all your endeavors, that God will take you through. And we are praying for you. What is interesting about that chapter, Luke chapter 5, is that after they pushed out the boat and there was a great draught of fishes, they had to invite their friends to come in and share. And all of us are in the sharing business today. It is not about you, Pastor Jim, or me. It is about the kingdom of God Almighty, and it must be established despite the challenges. And we're going to stand tall in the things of God, and we're going to do the great work and carry out the great commission given to us to go forth to preach this glorious gospel, which is the power of God and to salvation. As our heads are bowed. Heavenly Father, we worship and we praise you. We thank you for your servant, Pastor Jim. We thank you for his dear wife. We thank you for every officer in this house. We thank you for the well wishers of Wellspring Church. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that the windows of heaven would be opened up on this church. That this church indeed would be a wellspring. That thirsty souls would flock in to find a measure for their souls. And that they would come in to find, oh Father, that they're being fed from the fountain. That they would be able to drink from this fountain that never shall run dry. O Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in your people again. Cause them to have that upper room experience again, where the Spirit of the living God would come in. Hallelujah. And that there would be a shaking in the house. Men and women would be filled with the power of the Spirit of the living God as they would go forth and propelled to tell men and women that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. They may not resort to the politicians, for the politicians need help. The business people, they need a better plan. We pray this day in the name of Jesus that you touch your people and give us the wherewithal to stand. And having done all to stand, those who are sick and afflicted in body, we pray that the healing stream which flows from the side of Jesus would be their portion. We bless and we praise you, and we pray for divine protection over this church and over every member of this church. Bless them in their evangelistic drive, and may men and women flood to this place to hear the gospel message. We bless and we praise you for this time of fellowship in Jesus' name, and all God's people will say amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.